and ever the sound of blowing horns echoed in the hills. On they rode, the king and his companions. Captains and champions fell or fled before them. Neither orc nor man withstood them. Their backs were to the swords and spears of the riders, and their faces to the valley. They cried and wailed, for fear and great wonder had come upon them with the rising of the day. So King Theoden rode from Helm's Gate and clove his path to the great dyke. There the company halted. Light grew bright about them. Shafts of the sun flared above the eastern hills and glimmered on their spears. But they sat silent on their horses, and they gazed down upon the deeping coombe. The land had changed. Where before the green dale had lain, its grassy slopes lapping the ever-mounting hills, there now a forest loomed. Great trees, bare and silent, stood rank on rank, with tangled bough and hoary head. Their twisted roots were buried in the long green grass. Darkness was under them. Between the dyke and the eaves of the nameless wood only 2 open furlongs lay. There now cowered the proud hosts of Saruman, in terror of the king and in terror of the trees. They streamed down from Helm's Gate until all above the dyke was empty of them. Just below it they were packed like swarming flies. Vainly they crawled and clambered about the walls of the coombe, seeking to escape. Upon the east, too sheer and stony was the valley's side. Upon the left, from the west, their final doom approached. There, suddenly, upon a ridge appeared a rider, clad in white, shining in the rising sun. Over the low hills the horns were sounding. Behind him, hastening down the long slopes, were 1,000 men on foot. Their swords were in their hands. Amid them strode a man tall and strong. His shield was red. As he came to the valley's brink, he set to his lips a great black horn and blew a ringing blast.
"Erkenbrand!" the rider shouted. "Erkenbrand!"
"Behold the white rider!" cried Aragorn. "Gandalf is come again!"
"Mithrandir! Mithrandir!" said Legolas. "This is wizardry indeed! Come! I would look on this forest ere the spell changes!"
The hosts of Isengard roared, swaying this way and that, turning from fear to fear. Again the horn sounded from the tower. Down through the breach of the dyke charged the king's company. Down from the hills leaped Erkenbrand, lord of Westfold. Down leaped Shadowfax, like a deer that runs sure-footed in the mountains. The white rider was upon them, and the terror of his coming filled the enemy with madness. The wild men fell on their faces before him. The orcs reeled and screamed and cast aside both sword and spear. Like a black smoke driven by a mounting wind, they fled. Wailing they passed under the waiting shadow of the trees, and from that shadow none ever came again. Chapter 8. The Road to Isengard. So it was that in the light of a fair morning King Theoden and Gandalf the White Rider met again upon the grass beside the deeping stream. There was also Aragorn, son of Arathorn, and Legolas the Elf, and Erkenbrand of Westfold, and the lords of the Golden House. About them were gathered the Rohirrim, the riders of the Mark. Wonder overcame their joy in victory, and their eyes were turned towards the wood. Suddenly there was a great shout, and down from the dyke came those who had been driven back into the deep. There came Gamling the Old, and Eomer, son of Eomund, and beside them walked Gimli the Dwarf. He had no helm, and about his head was a linen band stained with blood, but his voice was loud and strong.
42, Master Legolas!" he cried. "Alas, my axe is notched. The 42nd had an iron collar on his neck. How is it with you?"
"You passed my score by 1, answered Legolas, "but I don't grudge you the game. So glad am I to see you on your legs."
"Welcome, Eomer, sister son," said Theoden. "Now that I see you safe, I'm glad indeed."
"Hail, Lord of the Mark," said Eomer.
"The dark night has passed, and day has come again, but the day has brought strange tidings." He turned and gazed in wonder, first at the wood and then at Gandalf. "Once more you come in the hour of need, unlooked for," he said.
"Unlooked for?" said Gandalf. "I said that I'd return and meet you here." "But you didn't name the hour,"
nor foretell the manner of your coming. Strange help you bring. You are mighty in wizardry, Gandalf the White.
That may be, but if so, I've not shown it yet. I've but given good counsel in peril, and made use of the speed of Shadowfax. Your own valour has done more, and the stout legs of the Westfold men marching through the night. Then they all gazed at Gandalf with still greater wonder. Some glanced darkly at the wood, and passed their hands over their brows, as if they thought their eyes saw otherwise than his. Gandalf laughed long and merrily.
"The trees," he said. "Nay, I see the wood as plainly as do you. But that's no deed of mine. It's a thing beyond the counsel of the wise, better than my design, and better even than my hope the event has proved."
"Then if not yours, whose is the wizardry?" said Theoden. "Not Saruman's, that's plain. Is there some mightier sage of whom we have yet to learn?"
"It's not wizardry, but a power far older," said Gandalf. "A power that walked the earth, ere elf sang or hammer rang, ere iron was found or tree was hewn, when young was mountain under moon, ere ring was made or wrought was woe, it walked the forests long ago."
"And what may be the answer to your riddle?" said Theoden.
"If you would learn that, you should come with me to Isengard," answered Gandalf.
"To Isengard?"
they cried.
"Yes," said Gandalf. "I shall return to Isengard, and those who will may come with me. There we may see strange things."
"But there are not men enough in the mark, not if they were all gathered together and healed of wounds and weariness, to assault the stronghold of Saruman," said Theoden.
"Nevertheless to Isengard I go," said Gandalf.
"I shan't stay there long. My way lies now eastward. Look for me in Edoras, ere the waning of the moon."
"Nay," said Theoden. "In the dark hour before dawn I doubted, but we won't part now. I'll come with you, if that's your counsel."
"I wish to speak with Saruman as soon as may be now," said Gandalf. "And since he's done you great injury, it would be fitting if you were there. But how soon and how swiftly will you ride?"
"My men are weary with battle," said the king. "And I'm weary also, for I've ridden far and slept little."
"Alas, my old age is not feigned, nor due only to the whisperings of Wormtongue. It's an ill that no leech can wholly cure, not even Gandalf."
"Then let all who are to ride with me rest now," said Gandalf. "We'll journey under the shadow of evening. It's as well, for it's my counsel that all our comings and goings should be as secret as may be, henceforth. But don't command many men to go with you, Theoden. We go to a parley, not to a fight."
The king then chose men that were unhurt and had swift horses, and he sent them forth with tidings of the victory into every vale of the mark, and they bore his summons also, bidding all men, young and old, to come in haste to Edoras. There the lord of the mark would hold an assembly of all that could bear arms on the second day under the full moon. To ride with him to Isengard the king chose Éomer and 20 men of his household. With Gandalf would go Aragorn, and Legolas, and Gimli. In spite of his hurt, the dwarf wouldn't stay behind.
"It was only a feeble blow, and the cap turned it," he said. "It would take more than such an orc scratch to keep me back."
"I'll tend it while you rest," said Aragorn.
The king now returned to the Hornburg and slept, such a sleep of quiet as he had not known for many years, and the remainder of his chosen company rested also. But the others, all that were not hurt or wounded, began a great labour, for many had fallen in the battle and lay dead upon the field or in the deep. No orcs remained alive. Their bodies were uncounted. But a great many of the hillmen had given themselves up, and they were afraid and cried for mercy. The men of the mark took their weapons from them and set them to work.
"Help now to repair the evil in which you have joined," said Erkenbrand, "and afterwards you shall take an oath never again to pass the fords of Isen in arms, nor to march with the enemies of men, and then you shall go free back to your land. For you have been deluded by Saruman.
Many of you have got death as the reward of your trust in him. But had you conquered, little better would your wages have been. The men of Dunland were amazed, for Saruman had told them that the men of Rohan were cruel and burned their captives alive. In the midst of the field before the Hornburg, two mounds were raised, and beneath them were laid all the riders of the Mark who fell in the defence, those of the East Dales upon one side, and those of Westfold upon the other. In a grave alone under the shadow of the Hornburg lay Harmer, captain of the King's Guard. He fell before the gate. The orcs were piled in great heaps, away from the mounds of men, not far from the eaves of the forest, and the people were troubled in their minds, for the heaps of carrion were too great for burial or for burning. They had little wood for firing, and none would have dared to take an axe to the strange trees, even if Gandalf had not warned them to hurt neither bark nor bough at their great peril. "Let the orcs lie," said Gandalf. "The morning may bring new counsel." In the afternoon the king's company prepared to depart. The work of burial was then but beginning, and Theoden mourned for the loss of Harmer, his captain, and cast the first earth upon his grave. "Great injury indeed has Saruman done to me and all this land," he said, "and I'll remember it when we meet." The sun was already drawing near the hills upon the west of the Coombe, when at last Theoden and Gandalf and their companions rode down from the dyke. Behind them were gathered a great host, both of the riders and of the people of Westfold, old and young, women and children, who had come out from the caves. A song of victory they sang with clear voices, and then they fell silent, wondering what would chance, for their eyes were on the trees, and they feared them. The riders came to the wood, and they halted. Horse and man, they were unwilling to pass in. The trees were grey and menacing, and a shadow or a mist was about them. The ends of their long, sweeping boughs hung down like searching fingers. Their roots stood up from the ground like the limbs of strange monsters, and dark caverns opened beneath them. But Gandalf went forward, leading the company, and where the road from the Hornburg met the trees, they saw now an opening like an arched gate under mighty boughs, and through it Gandalf passed, and they followed him. Then, to their amazement, they found that the road ran on, and the deeping stream beside it, and the sky was open above and full of golden light. But on either side the great aisles of the wood were already wrapped in dusk, stretching away into impenetrable shadows, and there they heard the creaking and groaning of boughs, and far cries, and a rumour of wordless voices murmuring angrily. No orc or other living creature could be seen. Legolas and Gimli were now riding together upon one horse, and they kept close beside Gandalf, for Gimli was afraid of the wood. "It's hot in here," said Legolas to Gandalf. "I feel a great wrath about me. Do you not feel the air throb in your ears?"
"Yes," said Gandalf.
"What has become of the miserable orcs?" said Legolas.
"That, I think, no one will ever know," said Gandalf.